amen, and work with us. We're having a great time together. Amen. We bring Brother Hart to this pulpit. God bless you, brother. It's yours and the Lord's.
Praise the Lord. We praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. What a wonderful God that we serve tonight. Praise the Lord. We give Him the glory. We give Him all the honor. And we give Him all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've heard good singing tonight. Amen. We've heard exhortation from the Word of God. We've been touched by His Spirit. Amen. We've offered up prayers unto God. And I believe that lives have been touched. Bodies have been healed. Prayers have been answered. Hallelujah. Because we serve a living God. Hallelujah. He's not dead. He's not on vacation. He's not deaf. He's not blind. Amen. And He's not nervous. Praise God. But He said one time, why do you Pentecostals make so much racket? You think God's deaf? No, He's not deaf. But I thank God He's not nervous either. Hallelujah. But I'd like to make the devil nervous tonight. Hallelujah. I'd like to make the devil tremble. Amen. Because we serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. We serve the only God. The Bible says the devil believes in one God. And what happens? What does he do? He trembles. The Bible says resist the what? The devil. And what will he do? He'll flee from you. Hallelujah. Devil? Amen. We serve notice tonight. Amen. That we're the servants of the Most High God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Amen. And He's in this place tonight. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise and worship tonight as we glorify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God.
We serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Well, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God.
And what's His name? The book of Luke, and we're going to begin with verse number 8, reading from the New King James Version, St. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. Thank God tonight that God delights in finding that which is lost. Could we pray tonight? Brother Grissom, pray to the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated. That serving God is not all about us, but it's all about Him. It's all about reaching out and touching the lives of others. I'd like to minister tonight on this topic, searching for the lost coin of desire. Searching for the lost coin of desire. Now Jesus was speaking in a parable. And a parable is taking something that is common, that is understood by everyone or most everyone, and applying it to a spiritual principle or a spiritual concept. And so in this 15th chapter of Luke, Jesus spoke in three parables about three lost things: a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. In each of those parables is a message unto itself. Many times we have heard the ministers of God expound upon the three lost things. But tonight I want us to look carefully at these three verses in your Bible about a lost coin. Now it's hard to relate to some things in our Western ways, because we are not closely attuned to all of the customs and manners of Bible days. But in biblical times, married women often wore a 10-piece garland or cap upon their head. And that symbolized a portion of the marriage dowry that was given as a part of the bride price. You see, when young men and young women married in biblical days, and in some countries of our world it is still this way, that the bride and groom did not choose one another, but rather they were chosen by their parents. The parents of these two young people would get together and they would arrange the marriage. And so love was not always something that came before marriage. It was something that followed after. I thought that I knew what it was to be in love before I got married. But I wasn't really in love as much as I was just following the natural course of humanity. Men are attracted to women and women attracted to men. We are
attracted more by the outward appearance than we are by anything else. And you might as well admit, if you're honest with yourself, that you weren't in love with her mind, but you were in love with her on a different level of intimacy. But as you spent time with that mate, that man or that woman, that you began to appreciate them and cherish them on a much higher level. That you really didn't know what love was. That sometimes we refer to young people being in puppy love. Being infatuated. We are attracted to one another. God made woman to be attractive unto men. And men to be attractive unto women. And that's the way it ought to be. God forbid when it's any other kind of way. Amen. That God made woman for the man because God saw that it was not good for man to dwell alone. But married women wore this garland upon their head as a symbol of the price, the bride price that was paid for them. And this 10-piece garland was something that they treasured, that they placed a great deal of value on. Because that young man, when he chose a bride, that he had to weigh carefully whether or not he was ready for marriage. That he could not, even if he was betrothed unto a bride, they could not consummate the marriage until there was a home that was already prepared for the new bride. I wish that had been the case in Sister Hart and I's situation, because we got married. Amen. We thought that you could just live on love. Amen. We didn't have a job. We were just going to evangelize and turn the world upside down. We didn't have a deposit on an apartment or a house or anything. We just didn't even think about that aspect. Amen. Because we were floating on the clouds of love. We were just living in a dream world, but it didn't take us long until we realized the hard, cruel facts of reality. When the honeymoon was over, and we had to live together as man and wife, amen, and to obey the word of God, amen. The Bible says that if a man doesn't take care of his own, he's worse than an infidel. Amen. I had to make sure that there was some money coming in. Amen. There were some responsibilities. And so in biblical times, amen, they didn't just get married on the spur of the moment. But it was something that was prepared. That was something that was planned. There was a betrothal period. And during the time of betrothal, plans were made. Things were put in place that marriage could survive. I would to God that we had some plans in place for marriages to survive today. Amen. We live in a day and time where brides are thrown away like dirty socks and husbands are discarded. Amen. So much the same. Amen. But God did not intend it to be so. Amen. God, amen, joined man and woman together that they might be one flesh and that they might pledge their love to one another until death should do them part. Amen. Amen. That was the purpose and the plan of God. So these 10 coins have a much greater significance, amen, than you and I can grasp at just a first look. That you may think, well, she still had 9 other coins. What's the big deal about it? But this represented, amen, the commitment that the groom had made to her as the bride. We find in the book of Leviticus that there was a bride price that was set by the time of the law of Moses. Before that time, they negotiated the price for a bride. You know, the Indians here in North America, that they gave so many ponies in order to obtain a bride. If you was a 4-pony squaw, you was a pretty special girl. Amen. If somebody would give 4 ponies for you. But in the Bible, that they didn't give property in that way in so many instances, but they did give a dowry. And a portion of that dowry would actually go to the bride as a kind of security and a reminder to her of the pledge, amen, but that was given as a part of the bride price. I want you to know, as the bride of Christ, amen, it was not infatuation. Amen. That Jesus Christ, amen, did just not stumble to the cross of Calvary by accident. Amen. He did not give his life for our sins. Amen. As a last minute solution. It was a last resort. Amen. But my Bible says that God, amen, foreordained a lamb, a spotless lamb before the foundation of the world. He was the lamb that was slain for our redemption. Amen. God knew exactly the price that he had to pay. Amen. When he came into the world, he knew the price of redeeming mankind from their sin. There was a price that had to be paid for the bride. Hallelujah. And we, as the bride of Christ, we need to be careful, amen, that we do not displace, that we do not misplace, amen, that we do not lose track of the things that God has bestowed upon us as the New Testament bride. Amen. Because we were bought with a price, not with gold and silver and precious things, but we were purchased with the precious blood of a spotless lamb. Can you say praise the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. She had lost one of the coins upon her garland, upon her cap. Amen. And she was frantic about it. The Bible says that if she loses one of those coins, amen, does she not light a lamp and begin to sweep the house and search carefully? How long does she search? Amen. How long? Is it 1 hour or 2 hours or 3? Is it 1 day or 2 days? The Bible says she will search that house. She will sweep it and make sure that she has left nothing unturned. And she will look until she finds it. I'm afraid that as the bride of Christ, amen, the devil would like to steal some things, amen, that God placed upon us, amen, when he betrothed us to be his virgin bride, when he betrothed us to be that bride without spot and without blemish. There are some things that the devil would like to take away from us, amen, the thing that we need to cherish, that we need, amen, to love, and that we need to keep hold up, because we are the chosen of the Lord. But in biblical times, under the law, a virgin, the price for a virgin was 50 shekels. For a widow or for a divorced woman, it was 25 shekels. But those 10 coins, that those 10 coins were the bride's portion. Amen. That was her portion. We've not been given everything. Amen. The Bible says it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Amen. One day that we're going to inherit a kingdom. Amen. Like no other kingdom. We're going to walk on streets of gold. We're going to walk through gates of pearl. We're going to look at walls of jasper. But I thank God that he has given me the earnest of mine inheritance, which is the Spirit of God that dwells within us. Hallelujah. We need to love the inheritance that God, amen, has bestowed upon his bride. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. This woman swept the house and she searched carefully, because she had lost something that was very valuable, not only to her, but it meant a lot, amen, to the marriage. It meant a lot because it represented a part of the price that was paid for her as his bride. The Bible says that when that woman finds that lost coin, that she is so filled with joy, Amen. That she is so thankful. Oh, that she will call her friends and her neighbors and say, come to my house and rejoice with me because I have found that silver piece that I lost. I found that was once mine and now it's mine again. And they will rejoice over that one lost coin. Amen. And yet the Pharisees, amen, were so hard. The Pharisees were so critical of Jesus because he ate with publicans and sinners. Because he fellowshiped with people that they did not want to fellowship with. And they ridiculed him. They criticized him because Jesus Christ had a love for lost things. I want you to know Jesus Christ loves the lost. Hallelujah. Like a shepherd would leave the 99 sheep that are safe in the fold in order to search for that one lost sheep. Amen. That lost coin was something to get excited about. And the Bible compares the lost coin to a sinner that comes to repentance. Oh, hallelujah. If we can rejoice over material things, amen, how much more we as children of God ought to rejoice when sons and daughters are born in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. When we look at the 10 coins of the married woman, amen, the Bible gives us just a parable and an expression that likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But I want you, if you would, amen, to consider, amen, the Proverbs 31 woman. Every godly woman reads Proverbs 31 with amazement, with astonishment. Amen. When my wife came into our family, amen, and she looked at the things that my mother did for her household, she thought to herself, how can I measure up, amen, to that woman? Because she thought in her mind that she was the Proverbs 31 lady. How can I cook like she cooks? How can I be a housekeeper like she's a housekeeper? How can I sacrifice like she sacrifices? Amen. But there is a lot to be said for the Proverbs 31 woman. Because she did not do all of those wonderful things to be praised of men. She didn't do it in order that she could boast in her righteousness or that she could glory and have honor unto herself. But she did it because of her love and her devotion, amen, to the fact that she was a married woman with responsibilities, that she had a husband and children, amen, that were given to her by God. Well, hallelujah, I don't ever want, amen, to do anything, amen, that we might have glory to myself or that we might as a church have glory unto ourselves, amen, but we ought to be about the master's business just because we're in love with Jesus Christ, because we are his bride. We are betrothed unto him, amen, a beautiful bride, holy and glorious in the sight of the Lord. But the Proverbs 31 woman, if we might list 10 coins that we might assign to the Proverbs 31 woman, that might be faithfulness. The Bible tells us that above all things, that she was faithful to her husband. Amen. We ought to be faithful to our God. You know why? Because God said that he was a jealous God. Amen. We're married to the Lord, aren't we? Amen. Amen. And he's a very jealous husband. Amen. Hello? We've been betrothed unto one husband. Amen. The Bible says in the last days that men would be lovers of what? Pleasure. More than what? Lovers of God. We better be careful about flirting with the world. God doesn't like a flirt. And frankly, neither do I. We better be careful about, amen, where we're looking and what we're desiring. Amen. We need to be careful about, amen, our flashing our pretty smile. Amen. And giving goo-goo looks at the world. Oohing and aahing. Amen. About the things that the world has to offer. I want you to know, in comparison to my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ, the world doesn't have anything that I need or that I want. I found all that I want and all that I need in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. She was faithful to her husband, and she was a keeper at home. Amen. You read Proverbs 31. Amen. She was not a busybody. She didn't go from house to house spreading rumors and gossip, innuendo. Oh, because she wanted, amen, her husband to be well thought of in the community. She cared about her reputation. Amen. You better be careful about people that will tell things about other people, because they'll tell things about you too. My mother had a lady in this church. I don't know if she's even alive now, but call her up on the phone one time. And she was running down the pastor. And my mother said, well, if you're going to talk down the pastor and you're going to attack him, she said, this conversation is over. My mother was pretty frank, wasn't she, Sister Everett? And you know what? That lady didn't have any more to say. Amen. I want you to know, if you, amen, don't want to go the way of the sinner, if you don't want to go the way of the ungodly, hallelujah, then let them know, amen, where you stand in Jesus. Amen, what your belief is. Hallelujah, that you're not a slanderer. Amen, that you're not a backbiter. That you're not a gossip. Amen, if you can't say anything good, then keep your mouth shut. Hallelujah. Amen, it's easy, amen, for people to fly off the handle and believe things that they don't have a clue about. Amen, it's easy to believe bad things, but boy, we can't believe anything good about somebody. Somebody says something good, you mean Jason? I can't believe that. But boy, when it's something juicy and something bad, woo! You got my attention. Amen. The Proverbs 31 woman, the Bible says, was a keeper at home. Yes. Amen. If you're going to do something profitable. Yes. Amen. Instead of using your yap to tear down, why don't you go out there and begin to witness and testify about the goodness of God, the grace and the mercy and the joy and the peace of the Lord. Yes. If you've got time to gossip, you've got time to witness. Uh-oh. If you've got time for Harlequin, you've got time for the Bible. If you've got time for As the World Turns, amen, you've got time, amen, to spend with Jesus. Amen, I know only the older ones know what we're talking about. And I think the world's quit turning. The Proverbs 31 woman, amen, clothed her children in scarlet. She prepared meals for a husband. Amen. Did you hear that one? She was frugal in business. She cared for her family's health. She was fervent to work with her hands. She was compassionate to the needy. She was given to hospitality. And she had a desire for children. I believe as a church, no matter what else, amen, God has blessed us. God has bestowed favor upon us. Hallelujah. And it's good that we're faithful to keep the commandments of God. Coin number one. It's good that we're faithful to the house of God. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Coin number two. Amen. I thank God that we're clothed in garments of righteousness, that we eat the bread of the Word of God. Amen. That God teaches us good stewardship. Amen. Of His blessings. That God wants to heal us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. That God wants us to be fervent in our worship. He wants us to show kindness and benevolence. He wants us to enjoy the fellowship of one another. These all come, amen, with being the bride of Christ. But there's one other coin, a tenth one. Amen. I hope and pray to God that we never lose it. And that's the desire to bear spiritual children. I don't know if that was the coin that she lost. But I believe that in many cases, amen, that as a church, amen, we have lost our passion. We have lost our desire to give birth. Amen. God wanted Adam to have a wife because he was lonely. But that's not the only reason God chose, amen, to give Adam a helpmate. Amen. I know that there's a lot of lonely people in the world. And that's a good reason to be a part of a fellowship. And I love fellowship. I love it as much as anybody else. I love to come to the house of God. I love to break the bread of the Word. I love to sit down in heavenly places with the family of God. But God forbid that we should ever lose our desire, amen, to see children born into the house. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. Rachel, the Bible tells us, Rachel made a statement to her husband. She was a beautiful woman, and she was valued by Jacob. In fact, the bride price for Rachel was a bit unusual. Jacob didn't have a lot as far as wealth at the beginning, though God prospered him and added to him great riches and wealth. He had flocks and herds and servants. But all he had when he arrived in Haran, amen, was just a desire. Amen. He had a desire, amen, to be blessed of the Lord. And so when he was one of the exceptions, because Jacob fell in love at first sight. Now, most of the time, love is something that comes later. First, we're attracted to them physically. And then, after a while, amen, physical appearance doesn't mean near as much. Hello? Amen. Isn't it wonderful that you can grow old together and you still look lovely to one another in spite of the gray hair or the missing hair and the missing teeth and whatever else is missing? That we grow rather fond of one another because of something called love. But Jacob was a bit of an exception. Jacob fell in love. He saw that beautiful young lady by the name of Rachel. The Hebrew word for Rachel is Rahel. And Rahel means simply a ewe or a female sheep. And he looked at Rachel And he desired Rachel to be his bride, but he didn't have the price that he couldn't negotiate with what he had, so he negotiated with what he could give. And Laban said, if you want Rachel for your wife, then you're going to have to work for me for 7 years. 7 years' wages. Now, I don't know what you make on your job. You might make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000. I don't know. But whatever amount it was, he had to give 7 years' worth. Now, how many of you would have been willing to give 7 years' worth of your salary for your wife? Frankly, I couldn't have afforded this girl, but she's worth every penny. 7 years, and you can have her for your wife. But he not only gave 7 years and then got tricked. And instead he was given Leah, the older sister, because it was also the custom of that day that you didn't marry the younger sister before the older sister. And somehow that got lost in the translation. And so he said, well, you can still have Rachel, and I'll let you wed her the following week, but you've got to give me 7 more years, amen, of labor if you're to have Rachel as your wife. So he gave 14 years of service. She had a dowry that represented 14 years of sweat and sacrifice. Amen. Because Jacob valued her greatly. The Bible said that he loved Rachel, that she was his first love. Amen. But there was something about this story that kind of makes you sad. Because as much as Rachel was loved, as much as that Jacob cared about Rachel, Rachel was not happy because Rachel was barren. I want you to know, a church that doesn't have spiritual children is a church that's going to be very sad. Amen. If you want to be a church, amen, of joy, if you want to be a revival church, if you don't want to be a church, amen, that is experiencing the greatness of God, amen, you've got to have a desire for spiritual sons and daughters to be born into the kingdom of God. Rachel wanted to have a child. You see, not only did God give Eve unto Adam because he was lonely, but he told him, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And so it was the plan of God, amen, to have children. In fact, in biblical times, it was considered a reproach not to have a child in the house. Amen. And in some cultures today, it's still that way. Amen. I know of a lady that had someone approach her because she had been married a few years and she still didn't have any children. And the lady went up to her and said, are you sick, honey? Hello? Because there weren't any children. It was a big deal. It wasn't something inconsequential. It was a big deal to Rachel. She didn't care how much, amen, Jacob loved her, how much money that he spent, or how many years that he worked to get her. She wanted a child. And she came to Jacob, amen, despondent. She came to Jacob in distress. She came to him in a time of extreme agony. And she said, give me children or else I die. Have you ever wanted something so much that you were willing to die to get it, Brother Buddy? Amen. Amen. Have you ever wanted to get your healing? And say, God, amen, either heal me or take me out of this world. That's how much Rachel wanted, amen, to have a child. She said, God, either you give me a child or just let me die. Unfortunately for churches, we don't even have a choice. You either have children or you do die. Hello? Rachel, amen, made, amen, a choice, a decision. Amen. She made a commitment. I want to have a child or else I want to die. But as a church, we've got to have children or we're going to die. Come on, can I have an amen? We've got to have a desire in our heart, amen, to be a mother, to bear a children, amen, that we might offer them unto the Lord. Rachel said, give me children or else I die. And the Bible says that God, amen, opened Rachel's womb and she, amen, became a mother. And God gave her a son and she named him Joseph. Oh, hallelujah. You better be careful when you ask something from God. Amen. She got a child. She got a son. Amen. But when you really want God to give revival, amen, sometimes there's a terrible price to pay. Amen. Rachel had a hard labor when she gave birth to Joseph. It's easier for some women to have children than it is for others. Well, we had a good friend that I believe it took her about 15 minutes. Bingo. The baby was born. Our first one, my wife was in labor for what, 24 hours? And she was at the very point of death. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know that having a baby could be so stressful. I never had had a baby, you see. But a lot of women literally almost give their life, amen, in giving birth to a child. Hallelujah. I know Jason is happy, amen, tonight. And Kim is happy tonight because God gave them that little bundle of joy. Does it really make a difference? Is it really that important? Or is it something that you can, No, it's real big. I want you to know that God wants the church, amen, to be a birthing station. Amen. God wants this church, hallelujah, to have spiritual sons and daughters. But we better be careful when we begin to pray for a child because it means a time of travail. Amen. It means getting down before the Lord upon our knees and travailing and agonizing before God. It means fasting. It means sacrifice. It means hard work. That's why they call it labor. Labor pains. Amen. Because God intended for mothers to have babies. Hallelujah. God wants the church, amen, to be fruitful. God wants us to bear much fruit. Amen. Be careful what you pray for. Amen. God answered Rachel's prayer and God opened her womb. And she's conceived a second time. Oh, but this time, amen, she was not so fortunate as the former time. But the Bible says that when she began to travail to bring forth a son, this time, amen, that she became overcome with the pain and the agony and the stress I'm bringing forth a child. That she got the answer to her request. Give me children, or else I die. Better be careful when you ask God, amen, to save your children, no matter what the cost. Better be careful when you pray and ask God to send revival, no matter what it takes to get it, because it may take it to get it. God gave Rachel another son, but in doing so, she had to give her life. She named that son Benoni, which means the son of my sorrow. But Jacob called him Benjamin, which means the son of my right hand. Another woman in the Bible tells us of is a woman by the name of Hannah. This has always been one of my very favorite stories of the Bible. Hannah too was a woman that was loved. Her husband Elkanah loved her with a very special love. And he gave her a special portion at every feast of the Lord that he bestowed. He thought of her. He loved her. More than he could have loved anyone, he loved her. But there was one problem in Hannah and Elkanah's life. And that was that the Lord had shut up her womb that she could not bear. You know, the Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord. Children are not an accident. Amen. They're a miracle of God. Oh, hallelujah. Every child that's born into the kingdom of God is another miracle. Every time another child, amen, breaks forth into praise and worship, amen, begins to speak in that tongue, unknown tongue, amen, it's another miracle from God. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Bible says God had closed Hannah's womb that she could not bear. Amen. And Hannah was so overcome. She was so desirous to bear children that she wept and she would not eat. How long has it been since you have cried and wept, amen, for a lost soul in order to see them brought forth into the kingdom of God? How long has it been since you have fasted and prayed for a lost soul, amen, to come to an altar of repentance? How long has it been that you have been moved upon by the Holy Ghost, amen, to witness to someone on the street, amen, that maybe you didn't even know? The Bible says that she could not eat. Jesus was offered meat, and he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. We can feast and we can rejoice on the word of God, and I love coming to the house of God. I love, amen, to hear the word of God as it goes forth. Amen. I love the teaching, amen, of the word of God. I love the singing and the praise and the worship. Amen. I love testimonies. I love to honor God with my first fruits. But that doesn't, any of that, none of that really matters. Amen. If the womb of the church has been shut, if we have become spiritually barren and desolate, it is a reproach, amen, upon the church of the living God. Because God, amen, doesn't want us to just be passionate about passion. Amen. All the kissing and hugging and necking and whatever that goes on, amen, is in vain. Amen. If there's nothing to show for it. Amen. I want you to know all the worship and all the singing and all the shouting. Amen. And all the tears of joy are meaningless if we're not bringing sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. All the sermonizing. Amen. All of the seminars. Amen. Don't mean anything if we are not reaching out and touching a lost and dying world. I know we're passionate, but what are we passionate about? Are we passionate about passion? Amen. Do we love preaching just for preaching's sake? Do we love singing just because we like good singing or music because we appreciate harmony? Or is there really a purpose to all this? The Bible says that God chose the foolishness of what? Preaching. Of preaching. That what? That some might be saved. If people don't get saved, if lives don't get changed, if people don't get delivered, if people don't get healed, amen, then all that we're doing is going through the motions. We're kissing and hugging and we're loving God, but there's nothing happening. I don't want to just get intimate with God. I don't want to just kiss Him and hug Him. Amen. And hold His hand. Amen. But I want, amen, to conceive in the womb that we can bring forth spiritual sons and daughters into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We need to be passionate about souls. Amen. Our desire ought to be, amen, to please the Lord. Desire to bring forth sons and daughters. Israel lost its appreciation for children because that Israel sinned and became depraved in its life and in its going after Baal and Ashtoreth and the gods of the nations. God pledged to bring judgment upon the nation in Hosea chapter 9, verses 9 through 17. Amen. Israel's heart, amen, was not toward the Lord, but she went a whoring after other gods whom their fathers had not known, committing spiritual adultery with images of gold and silver and stone and wood. And God was jealous. And God said, I'm going to cause this nation to have dry breast and a miscarrying womb because they have turned aside from walking in my statutes. Oh, God forbid that we should ever have, amen, that kind of a judgment pronounced upon us. But you can read it in Hosea the 9th chapter. Amen. That God said, this nation will not bring forth because they've turned aside from following after me. Amen. They have lost their love for children. In fact, if you study the Bible says they gave their own sons and daughters up to enchantments and witchcraft. Amen. And sorcery and every kind of vile and unholy thing. Even offering their children, amen, as sacrifices unto the gods, amen, from which God had delivered them. God forbid that we should sacrifice our sons and daughters, amen, upon the altar of the world. God forbid that we should turn our back, amen, upon the great need of this hour. And that is, amen, to reach our world with the gospel message. God, help us to search the house. I believe that somewhere in the house that there's a lost coin that the church needs to find again. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. We have beautiful churches. Amen. It's not the housekeeping, amen, that we need to find. We have good jobs and nice homes. God has blessed us abundantly. Amen. We have clothes to wear and food to eat. Amen. I don't long for any of those things, although I'm thankful for the blessings of God. I thank God, amen, for His Word, amen, and for worship and singing and praise and everything that is good. But if there is something that's been lost, amen, if there's a part of our dowry, if there's a part of the bride price that we need to rediscover, and that's our desire to bear children, amen, unto the King of Kings. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen, amen. Amen. The longer that something is lost, the harder it is to find. Amen. Have you ever lost anything? The longer you delay in looking for it, the more difficult it will be to find it. Amen. The Bible says that this woman, amen, searched carefully. She began to sweep the house, and she lit her lamp. Amen. And she kept on searching until she what? Till she found it. I believe we can find it tonight. How many believe that we can be a soul winner? How many believe that you can be a witness for Jesus? And I believe that we can be a revival church. Amen. That these altars can be filled with young people. Amen. That people who have never heard this message, amen, can rejoice with us. And that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords. Amen. But the longer it's lost, the harder it will be to find. If we get satisfied, amen, with three songs and a sermon and let's go home, amen, it'll be hard, amen, to come to the birthing room. Amen. The longer we stay away, amen, from the birthing room, the harder it will be to find it again. I'd like for the musicians to come tonight. In the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter, God began to speak through the prophet Isaiah. He was speaking way, way beyond the time of the early church, and even beyond this present day, to a time that God would bring sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. In Isaiah the 66th chapter, the 7th verse, the Lord said, before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. And then in verse 8, it says, who has heard such a thing? You don't have babies without labor. You don't give birth to children without pain. You can't sing them in. Hello? You can't educate them in. You can't wow them in with entertainment. But if you're going to have children, you're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. Through prayer and travail. Come on now. Who has heard of such a thing? We live in a day and time where everybody wants it easy. We don't want to feel any pain. We don't want to go through any suffering. We don't want to make any sacrifices. But somebody sacrificed for you. My mother travailed in pain to bring forth her firstborn son. And that firstborn son was me. In the labor and the agony of bringing forth, she was paralyzed. She could not sit up. She could not stand up. because she had a very hard labor. Thank God that in time all of that went away. She regained the use of her limbs again to stand up on her feet. And boy, did she ever stand up once she got up. But somebody travailed for you. Somebody wanted to be a mother. Everybody can't be a beauty queen. You can't keep your figure forever. Hello? It ain't about who looks good. If you're going to be a mother, you're going to make some sacrifice. God's not looking for any beauty queens. He's looking for some mothers. He looks at people that will not draw back from giving birth to children. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Nothing happens overnight. Rome was not built in a day. Amen. Last time I checked, I believe it takes 9 months to carry a baby to full term. Amen. It would have been easy, honey, if we could have said, hey, we want a baby. And we could have went down the next day and picked him up. That'd been nice. It didn't happen that way. Amen. It'd be great. Amen. If we could have revival without sacrifice, without travail. But it ain't going to happen. You got to plant some seed. You got to water the seed if you're going to have a harvest. Oh, but I like this next verse. For as soon as Zion was in labor, or in the King James, as soon as Zion travails, she gave birth to her children. Sons and daughters were born. Hallelujah. I believe it's time for some travail. It's time, amen, to recover again that was lost. Oh, God, help us to rise and sweep the floor, to light our lamps and find that lost coin of desire. I desire to be what God would have me. I want to be a soul winner. I want to reach out and touch somebody. I want to make a difference in somebody's life today. Would you be one of those that would say, Lord, give me children or else I die. God, I don't want to just go through the motions. God, I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired, amen, of going through the ritual. I'm tired of leaving empty. Give me children or else I die. Give me children, Lord. Amen, that we might fulfill, amen, the cause. God didn't call you, amen, to sit on a pew. God didn't call you to look good, but God called you to be a witness. God called you, amen, to bring forth children. Hallelujah. God, let me be what you'd have me to be. Would you stand tonight? Those that would come, would you come to these altars? Amen. The altar's not just for the sinner, it's for the saint. Oh God, help me to be the man, the woman that you'd have me to be. God, I want to have children. God, I want to be a soul winner. God, I want to change somebody's life. God, I want to change my world. Amen. Through the power of Jesus Christ. God, use me tonight. God, use me, Lord. Lord, I want to be more like you. Days